We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
11 a.m. in the capital of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Pardon me. J.P. Finley. B. Mitchell Finley. Right now, we're joined by Mr. Ben Standig from The Athletic. I guess you're not on the BetQL guest line because you're actually sitting next to me.
Can't they sponsor my seat or something?
Perhaps. You're in the BetQL hot seat. Are you carrying one of these little things around?
I am being traced.
It's a little trippy, right? That I'm being traced. Why is it blinking red?
I don't know. Maybe because we're sitting next to each other.
Is yours blinking red?
Well, let me dive into the pocket and look.
I mean, I hope whoever's tracing me likes that. Oh, boy. Pete, is yours blinking red?
No red here.
Walk over here. Let's see if it starts blinking red.
It's like Michael Scott's.
Oh! So, when Pete, are we not supposed to be this close to one another?
I think it's like when you're near each other for like 7 minutes, something. But like my point is, we all sit in the media room, it looks like sardines, so I don't really know how this is all supposed to work.
Well, we'll find out. We're all just going to kind of ride the lightning with these trackers.
So, ho. You all are wearing tracking devices.
Yes. I think you're going to have to wear one.
So when you all are close to each other.
They start blinking.
How close?
Standing and I are sitting across from a table from each other, probably like 3-4 feet.
Okay. So it starts blinking.
Maybe it's 6 foot.
What if you're around? What if you're around someone that doesn't have one of those things on? So do you only wear it when you're at the facility?
Like yeah, it's just while you're at the facility, I believe, right?
See, that's where I think something that little system is off. I leave the facility, I take it off, then I go somewhere. I could be around any damn body then.
Well, I think the point is, you know, if somebody tests positive at some point, then you look and see the whole, you know, who you were standing next to at various times, you know, try to CSI the time frame here, and then all of a sudden, you know, you figure it out whether you're in a bad position or not.
I think that could make sense. Yeah, it's more about, like, knowing something after the fact than beforehand.
Right.
I got you.
You know what I want to do? Damn it. I want to talk about football. We got Standing here. He and I were just chatting, kind of watching things unfold there. I thought Fitzpatrick threw a couple nice passes. I think Adam Humphries is going to have a bigger role in this offense than people believe.
Who's winning the practice today?
It's too early. They haven't done the real 11-on-11. Plus, it's practice, and nobody really wins.
Like minicamp this offseason, yeah.
But, Ben, what are you watching when you go out there?
I'm honestly just trying to see who's on the field and where at this point. You know, I mean, like, we kind of know who the four defensive linemen are, but everything else is up in the air. Jamin Davis was playing middle linebacker. Is that going to stay? You know, so far it looks like it has.
I mean, because he was playing middle linebacker in minicamp, too. As soon as they drafted him, they put him in the middle of that defense.
Yeah.
And it hasn't changed.
Yeah. And then also we had Landon Collins and Cam Curl playing together as the safeties. On the offense, you see, like, Cam, you know, is Cam Sims lining up with the ones? You mentioned Adam Humphries has been out there. You know, who's out there? I just think, to me, like, that's sort of interesting because, look, from a game plan perspective, we're never going to get a ton out of all this, but you can see from a personnel perspective who they're trying to see where. And that does give us, I think, some hints as to how the coaching staff views this and what may shake out.
Ben, like, the thing for me for the defense, I think they got to step up majorly against the run on a consistent basis. How does that happen this year?
Well, I mean, right, isn't this the point of, to some degree, of adding a Jamin Davis? I mean, the defensive line, obviously, you know, all the resistance starts with them, but to some degree, they're taking on the double teams, they're taking on, you know, the main focus of the offense, and it's now they create gaps for the linebackers to fill in. And last year, you know, I think to some degree they just didn't have enough at that spot. Jamin Davis has the speed, the athleticism to do that. And then, of course, also, you know, you tack on the secondary. This is why Cam Curl is such a unique and interesting player, because he can play close to the line of scrimmage and cover deep center field and where they use him. And that's part of the question. We don't even know where he's going to line up. Is he that big nickel again, or does he ultimately play some more at strong safety or the deep or deeper part of the field? So I think all of that is a big deal. And also, look, I mean, Deron Payne, for example, very good player, very talented. Maybe this is the year he has the Pro Bowl level season. And if he does, then it really, you know, it takes up his run defense capabilities up a notch.
It's going to be interesting to watch. But, B, you'll appreciate this. One of the things Standing said he's trying to figure out is the punt returner.
Thank you, Ben. You know about real football.
Who you got?
Well, I mean, you know, I've done the whole, like you guys have the 53-man projection, and I don't have a punt returner. Like, if I'm just looking at the players, I don't have an actual punt returner unless I'm saying, like, Danny Johnson is my sixth corner slash punt returner, because most of the options are at receiver. And, you know, I've got McLaurin, Samuel, De'Ami Brown, Cam Sims, Adam Humphries, Gandy Golden would be sort of my top six. None of those guys are the punt returners. If you want to add a seventh, then maybe we can talk about Steven Sims or Dax Milne or DeAndre Carter. Those would be the three guys who were being in that mix with Danny Johnson. But I don't, you know, then I'm taking off another player. Am I dropping a sixth cornerback, going only nine offensive linemen instead of 10? Those are the things that are interesting. So I think the punt returner thing to me is incredibly wide open and really will shape on some level who's making this roster somewhere else or not making the roster somewhere else.
I think De'Ami Brown could return punts.
Well, they just haven't used him. At least they didn't use him in that capacity in minicamp, so we'll have to see.
Who was used in minicamp? Was it Sims?
It seemed like Dax Milne was the first punt returner.
I mean, it was him, Steven Sims, DeAndre Carter, one of the ones I mentioned. And like I said, you know, Danny Johnson obviously was returning kicks, mostly kick returns.
I don't think any of those dudes are making the team.
That's what I'm saying. Other than Danny Johnson being the sixth corner, I wouldn't feel comfortable penciling any of them in. But at the same point, somebody, one of these guys is making the team as the returner unless – I mean, look, Adam Humphries has returned punts in the past. They just haven't done it with him yet. You mentioned De'Ami Brown. Maybe that's the case. They just haven't done it yet.
It's going to be interesting. But, you know, sitting here, we've been watching a lot of the offensive line, and it's interesting to try to figure out not just for this season, but what they're going to do going forward. And Brandon Sheriff's not coming back. Does anybody think Sheriff's coming back? Raise your hand if you think Sheriff's coming back.
Not at that franchise tag again.
For the record, Ben's hand is not raised. My hand is not raised either. And so we're talking about...
I'm sitting on mine.
We're talking about Sadiq Charles. And I think it starts to become clear that they signed Charles Leno. They drafted Sam Cosmi. Last year, they were talking about Sadiq Charles as the left tackle of the future, the left tackle to replace Trent Williams. He got hurt. That never happened. He never played. Now it seems pretty clear he's not the left tackle of the future anymore or the right tackle of the future anymore, so they need him to play guard.
Yeah, I mean, I think eventually Cosmi is the left tackle of the future, or at least that would be the plan. Leno is only here on a one-year deal, and before they signed Leno, I think the Lucas-Cosmi battle was going to be on the left side with Moses on the right side, then obviously that's shifted. So if you view Cosmi as the future left, and, you know, we'll see about Lucas. So I guess in theory, Charles could maybe be on the right side. But look, they did in the only game he played last year for two snaps, he was at guard. And there are people, you know, I remember pre-draft talking to people who thought his best position ultimately would be guard. And that's fine. You need one of those, too. And like you just said, JP, Brandon Scherff is not going to be back next year, barring the unforeseen. And they're going to need somebody. And it would be good to know if you think a guy on your roster can already fill that role without having to then go into the next offseason saying, what do we do? So, yeah, they clearly like Charles. He's talented, but, you know, they got to get him on the field, and it looks like to me guard would be where they see the fit.
We talk a lot about the next year that they may go after a quarterback, and I know we talk about the defense and how good the defense is. If they don't get this offensive line legit and right, a top-notch quarterback is not coming to get behind that crap.
I agree. I did a bit on my podcast yesterday discussing like different storylines. And for the underrated storyline, it's not that we don't talk about it, but I kind of said I feel like the offensive line story is a bit underrated. They did change both tackles. The Scherff thing is more of a long-term question than a short-term thing, but the left guard spot is up in the air. Wes Schweitzer versus Eric Flowers is two guys who were okay, but you know, we're not talking to Russ Grimm or anything. So how that offensive line performs in front of a 38-year-old quarterback, you know, and trying to help obviously Antonio Gibson get holes and just have Fitzpatrick, if he wants to throw the ball down the field, which he does, he's got to have enough time to do it. So I'm not saying that won't happen, but it feels like it is more uncertain to a degree. We don't have the Sheriff Moses combo we had for years on the right side, and you know, some new pieces elsewhere. So especially if Cosme plays, right, a rookie offensive lineman mm-hmm. at any spot is a big question mark.
I think we're blinded by how good the defense possibly can be, and we think everything else can automatically be good just because of that. But there are a lot of new pieces on the offense, but there's no guarantee that all of it is going to work the way that we expect it to.
Totally. And I'll say this defensively. One guy that I've heard his name a few different times talking with some team folks is Daryl Roberts. And I don't know if fans are familiar with him quite yet, but I think he could maybe push for one of those last cornerback spots. I mean, this is a guy that was drafted by New England. I don't think he played much there. He was with the Jets. But he has – I mean, he's played 67 NFL games. He's 30, but when you get to a fifth or sixth corner, I don't know that this administration is going to be that loyal to Greg Stroman and Danny Johnson, guys that the old guard was loyal to. I think the corner battle is going to be pretty interesting to watch because – you know Jackson Fuller, St. Juice are locks. After that, I think it's pretty wide open. And Jimmy Moreland gets a lot of discussion, but his play is up and down.
Yeah, I mean, Roberts is interesting from the standpoint of, you know, last year a lot of the free agent signings were the Logan Thomases, J.D. McKissick, these underrated players that turned out to be pretty interesting. This year we talked more about the high-end guys. They went after William Jackson, Curtis Samuel, and so on. Daryl Roberts is one of the few potentially in that Logan Thomas McKissick where there's no expectations or minimal expectations, and maybe they do something. At best, he's the fifth corner for me, and like I said, I think a lot's going to depend on the punt returner type deal as to maybe who makes that spot. And there's a few other guys, like a guy like a Cole Luke who was on the team last year. I think that fifth and sixth corner spot is interesting. That's assuming they even keep six, by the way, because there's a lot of safeties.
They might have to go five safeties, five corners, rather than six and four, which is kind of the more traditional roster.
Any corner that can play both of them, that'd be good. Kendall Fuller?
Yeah, and they have better safeties than they do corners. Mm. So don't cut a good player just because you think it has to work in a specific puzzle piece for the roster breakdown.
Right, and you do have guys like McCain and Curl who at least have played cornerback in their career. Not to say you're going to say line them all the time, but look, if Cam Curl is playing the big nickel, effectively you're saying he's a cornerback in some of these roles. So yeah, I think it's interesting. By the way, that's one thing I'm excited about with Landon Collins being out here, is it gets a jump on seeing how they're going to fit all these pieces together. Do they have three safeties out there? Do they go with, you know, Curl and Collins and then have St. Juste as a third corner or Moreland? I think there's a lot of interesting combinations, but a lot of it depends on that Collins Curl situation and how that plays out.
Well, it's funny too, because we're going to talk a lot about the sixth wideout, right?
Uh-huh.
We know, I mean, I guess McLaurin's on the pup list. Or, I'm sorry, I guess Samuel's on the pup list.
Wow, I just mm-hmm. got it. That'd be
major news. My Twitter's going to blow up. I mean, Samuel's on the pup list, but they keep telling us it's not a big deal, so we're going to believe them right now. Although I've heard a lot of injuries that aren't big deals in July that a month later are still happening.
Let's hope it's not.
Just to confirm that McLaurin is fine, he just brought in a deep ball from Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I think is having a pretty good day. Maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick heard us all talking about Taylor Heinicke for a month and decided to shut everybody up. Regardless, we're all talking about what's going to happen at wideout, and De'Ami Brown, McLaurin, Samuel, Adam Humphries, and I'd put Cam Sims in the four of them are locks. Cam Sims, I think, is pretty damn certain. And so then it becomes a sixth wide receiver, Harmon, Gandy Golden, Dax Milne, who Isaiah Wright was on this team last year. Whoever you – that battle is something everybody's going to pay attention to. But the corners, I think, is arguably more important because there's more of those dudes play and have a bigger role with more frequency. And, Brian, we've talked about this a bunch. The offense knows who they're going after when they think there's a C-minus, D-plus player on the field. Mm-hmm. And when that player's at corner, the quarterback and the offensive coordinator of the opposition are targeting that guy. So I think for the first time in a long time, it might make sense to go 5-5 and keep five safeties.
It could absolutely happen. The corners are definitely it is weird to talk about Washington's safety position and talk about it in ways that feel positive, because that obviously hasn't happened in total in forever. There's always something. It does feel that way. And like I said, the fact that Landon Collins is back at least is a good sign. I wasn't sure when we would see him on the field.
I thought he'd be on the pup.
Yeah, I didn't know if we'd see him really out here much at all until we got closer to camp.
Don't you think the fact that Kendall has played safety, that alleviates a little bit of that pressure? You can still keep 6-4, but Kendall can go to safety if need be. The kid from Minnesota, I think he's possibly a safety.
They've said they want him to be a corner.
I know they want him to be, but he looks like a safety to me. And one thing about he's kind of long like a safety. If he can't get in and out of breaks consistently at this level, they better move him to safety.
I mean, I would just say there's a world, I think, in which, you know, I'll say on a third down where Fuller moves inside, you have St. Juice with his size on the outside, and, you know, if Cam Curl can, in fact, play enough consistent center field for them to keep him and Collins out on the field. I mean, if you want to talk about putting your best players on the field, which is what Ron Rivera said yesterday, he was trying to deflect on the quarterback competition, but he said our goal is to find the best combination of players to put them on the field. And when you look at the secondary, it does feel like the five best guys may be some combination we're not really even viewing, and that includes, like, taking advantage of Fuller's slot cover skills. Not saying off the bat, but or every play, but at times I think that could make a lot of sense if all these other pieces kind of fall into place.
Totally. And what's fun is we get to watch it. You know, granted, today we're only in Richmond for a few days, but we're going to watch it for the next month and see how it all shakes out. I want to ask you, I mean, all three of us are huge NFL fans beyond just Washington. I just saw this. So Cam Newton got the first work for the Patriots, then Mac Jones, then Brian Hoyer, but Brian Hoyer got twice as many snaps as Cam Newton and Mac Jones. At any point, are people going to start wondering what the hell Belichick's doing?
Yes, I think absolutely. I mean, here's the thing is,
I think Belichick has carte blanche.
I think he does too. I think he's earned it.
Yeah, they're not going to worry about it.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But at the same point, like, when you keep winning, people overlook a lot of the oddities or, you know, sort of the certain behavior or attitudes that he gets away with. If they start to stumble again, not saying that people doubt whether Bill Belichick can coach, but there will be more of like, you know, wait, what is going on here? You know, more outwardly than before. Before you just chalk it up to, well, he knows what he's doing. He's a genius. Another curious year might be like, wait, what's going on here? That said, Brian Hoyer not going to start for the Patriots.
No. Well, and then I'm honestly asking this, Brian. I don't know if you know the answer. Lamar Jackson is out in Baltimore. Did he test positive for COVID, or is it contact tracing?
Well, they're saying
what's
he
going
tested
on
positive in when the hell was it? In for Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
And they're investigating.
Happy Thanksgiving.
They're investigating something else. And that's why he's not being able to practice right now. I don't know what the hell is going on with it. And see, it's odd, man. So, listen, the league, they do stuff like that. You make other people say, hell no, I'm not taking any tests.
It's odd, to say the least.
Yeah, it is.
Ben, tell everybody where to find you, where to find your podcast, all that good stuff.
If you want to find me right now, I'm in a very cool air-conditioned tent, and I don't know if I'm going to leave. But if I do eventually make it back out to the field, I will write. I will watch and then write on The Athletic, and I talk about it on the Standard Room Only podcast.
All right. You're on Twitter at Ben Standing, correct?
Oh, that also.
Yeah. What about Instagram? There's always pictures of your cat.
I'm kind of like weaning myself off Instagram. I waste way too much time on silly things, and I need to focus on, you know, life.
Beamish, how many Instagram reels do you think you watch a day?
Once or two. I mean, one or two.
I take the over on that.
No, one or two. I don't look at a lot of reels on Instagram.
What do you look at then? Is it stories?
I just go down the actual feed and I see something and I'm gonna click on it, because I normally keep my mic off. I mean, my speaker's off. But if my finger touches the screen, it turns it on automatically.
It's one of my favorite things that happens. I hope you know that. I thoroughly enjoy it.
It doesn't happen every day.
No, I'd say it's like three or four times a month.
Three or four times a month, and you forget every day. So what the hell?
Ben, Brian is coming to Richmond tomorrow. How many of
tonight,
the media,
fool.
Tonight, fool. How many of the media corps do you think he will, one, threaten to punch, and two, actually punch?
Well, threaten, I mean, that number's pretty solid. Actually, boy, I don't know. I'm really hoping
I think
zero.
The same people I threaten, I punch all the time. So it's going to be – I say if you just go one, two, three people, and I bet you you'll be right on point.
Oh, I was going to set the total at 1.5, me and Pete. Who's the third? Ben?
Might be Ben.
Wait, is there a Pete B. Mitch thing going on? Like, you know – all these, we got all this like practice equipment out here. Like, I want to see.
Yeah,
like,
put
both
Pete,
of them on the
put Pete in practice equipment. I will have no equipment, and we could try that again.
You know what? Generally, there's copious amounts of libations when those kinds of things happen. So
I
don't
know. Well, I'm sure that'll happen too.
All right, we'll see what we can do. Ben, thank you very much for the time, dude.
Always, man. Thanks.
All right, Ben.
That is Ben Standing coming back, taking your calls. What's the biggest question for the Washington football team down here in Richmond? 106.7 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Landfill going with some Interpol. I like it. I like it a lot. B. Mitch, I got a funny story about the degenerates you sent me down to Virginia with, but I don't want to delay. Sorry, Landfill, I know I'm not supposed to yell. I'll work on it. Right now, I want to go to the legend. The legend is on the Gambit DC listener line. Walter in Alexandria, how do you do, sir?
Good morning. How are you doing today, sir?
What's up, Walt?
You know, I hear coaches revere, and I'll say what they cannot do. But here's the deal. Here's what they can do. I don't know if they can mandate or order legally players to take the COVID vaccine. But here's what they can do. They can tell the players, listen, we're going to test you. And if you fall victim to the COVID disease, we are then going to deal with you. We're going to restrict you, isolate you, and not pay you. So therefore, it's up to you. It's up to your choice to decide what you're going to do. But we're going to simply lay the law down and let you know what our plans are going to be and how we're going to deal with the issue. And I don't understand how that's not being done or not being practiced or not being implemented among the players. What do you guys think about that situation?
That might work for...
Thank you for the call, Walter.
It may work for some players that have no clout, but you go tell your starting quarterback, your starting pass rusher and all that type of thing. That'll work totally against you.
I don't know that it's a great... Nah. Dude,
basically, that's mandating. That's saying, if you don't do this, I'm going to do that. That's a mandate.
Here's what I'm going to say, and I mean this both across the country and in football, and you can drill down as much as you want into, you know, Nats Park, Navy Yard neighborhood. You can zoom it out to the Washington football team. You can zoom it out to the state of Maryland, the state of Virginia, Washington, D.C. You can go across the whole country. You can take a small cross-section or a big cross-section. I believe there are people that just are not going to do this for whatever reason, for the information they've acquired, whether it's right or wrong, they've made a decision. And I think with some of these Washington football team players, they're not going to do it. And You can't force people to do things in our country, whether it's smart or dumb. You can't force people. And Sadly, I think that's where we are. And you know what, Brian? I couldn't help but notice a bit of a change in tone from Ron and just kind of from the organization because, you know, I spoke with folks last week, 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, that were like, oh, you know, there's some level of optimism. Things
trending
are trending
in the right direction.
All that sort of stuff. For Ron to come out yesterday and say he's beyond frustrated, talk about his own battles, about his immune deficiency and how that relates to this Delta variant and everything that's going on. And then you look around the league and Lamar Jackson, Frank Reich. I mean, there's guys all over the league. And then you look around the country. And I saw Fairfax County schools are putting mask mandates back in. Like, I think people have made up their minds and aren't going to change them, honestly.
Some people are not going to, and that's what this country was built on, and I think we have to respect that in a sense, but I think a lot of what we want now is we want to get what we want. We dealt with last year, and a lot of people today that want everybody to go do just because they did it is because they want things to go completely back to normal. Some guys are not going to see it that way, and I feel when you start forcing people is when people hunker down. You have to find a way to talk to people in a respectful manner. Then maybe they'll listen and try to understand your point. But if you keep coming at them in a forceful manner, they're going to say, okay, hell with you. I'm not doing it. It's like when you make people, first of all, we talk about these competitive athletes. Then you get a competitive athlete with a little level of something, and he also believes he's about something, and he gets a little education on it. He don't let nobody just run over him. He's going when he's put back into a corner, he comes out fighting. And I think these owners and coaches are not used to that per se. They're used to being able to just say do and people do. Now, change your approach. Try a different way. See if you can get something done that way.
I feel like they tried the nice guy approach for a while and it didn't work, honestly.
I don't think the nice guy approach was tried. I think it was basically told. See, you can't assume.
Throughout OTAs and minicamp, it was just more about incentivizing getting the vaccine.
Yeah, but the thing about it is you're incentivizing getting the vaccine, okay? There's a history of why a lot of people don't want to get a damn vaccine.
True.
Okay? So instead of incentivizing to promote your pocket is what they're doing. How about try to address some of these people's thoughts and their feelings about it? Like I told you, I did it because I felt I should for my family and the people that I'm going to be around. I got a lot of friends that are older and things of that nature I like to be around. But other people still don't want to be around there, and a lot of them were taught by their parents. So if you're not going to address that whole situation to find out why they think the way that they think, then that's a problem. Because the only reason now that the country, the NFL, wants things done is because of money. That's why everybody wants it. It's not to get back to normal. It's because I lost money. So you're telling a lot of people, basically, I don't care what you think. I need to make my money.
I think there's a lot of people that want to get back to normal also.
That's understandable. But normal is the big wigs making all the money that they can make. That's normal.
Honestly, I think the lack of vaccinations hurts regular people way more than it does. I think big wigs, like the true 1%ers, the billionaires, the people that are worth $400-600 million.
Yeah,
I don't think
that person that's worth $400-600 million. See, they lose if they lose $200 million. It affects them on a major market too.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I don't think they might care about vaccinations in reopening the economy. But dude, if you're flying private and you have personal chefs and your children probably go to like super elite private schools, boarding schools, I bet all that stuff has just continued. And we are so removed from it that we don't even know. Like regular people that want to go take their family to Olive Garden for dinner on Thursday night and want to fly to Texas to visit their grandparents and they're going to fly coach on American Airlines, those are the people that are impacted.
See,
you know what I mean?
I disagree. I think the regular person is used to not having, to be honest with you. They're used to adjusting. Because normally in their lives, they have to adjust to a lot of stuff. But that person who's used to flying private and doing this, doing that, never have to worry about nothing, because you know what? They never lose money. But all of a sudden, when you look at your portfolio and a billion is gone, if you're a billionaire, or 200 million is gone, that makes a world of damn difference to you.
Sure.
And if the NFL is not back to normal, completely normal, they start losing money. Because I'm sure these TV companies have said, if y'all don't play like talking about this year, we're not paying you like talking about. Things get adjusted. So the more you hear about all this stuff, it's about economy. It's about money.
Yeah, but like you and I got the shot because we wanted to get back to normal.
Yeah. I got the shot because I wanted to protect my family for the most part. Because I'm a hustler, okay? Now, like, everybody may not be a hustler. I'm a hustler.
Yeah,
I'm going to find a way to get something. But the ultimate thing to me is a lot of this stuff is not about concern for a person or their family. It's about concern for your pocketbook. And that's the way the league presents itself.
It's hard. The league, one's reputation is always as such, right?
It is crap.
The league's reputation, I mean, just look at the quote-unquote punishment for the Washington football team for 20 years of deplorable behavior, right? They protected their own.
Yeah.
I agree with your point that the league's stance on vaccination now is probably not some sort of public health endeavor.
Yeah, I'm 100 on that.
But keep in mind, too, they got every game off last year in the middle of this thing. So they're going to get every game off. I think the hope is the thought of forfeits and losing game checks is
enough
to make everybody vaccinated.
You know why they're saying stuff about forfeiting the game check? Because they've been given a damn reprimand. They've been told by those TV players, we're not pulling this later. You got to play the games when you're going to play them. So they're now, in turn, trying to put the pressure on the players. They didn't just all of a sudden come up with this crap without any pressure being put on them. The people that's paying them are saying, hold on now, if you want to keep getting paid, we need this stuff to go how we have it planned. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you, man.
Just like everyone talks about, well, they didn't do anything in Washington until they were forced to. Well, the league is forcing, they're getting forced to do what they're doing now, too.
They didn't do anything in Washington until they were forced
to. And the league is now trying to force because they're being forced to.
It's interesting. I think maybe I'm crazy or I mean, listen, I'm a mark for NFL games, right? I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of loved having NFL games on Tuesdays.
Well, if you
I know they don't want to go that direction,
major,
but
if you're a major TV, which come, okay, and you have things planned up and you have to adjust stuff over and over again because of this one entity. It's a lot of money being made around this world, and the NFL makes a lot of it, but they make a lot of money other places too. And if I have to constantly adjust based off of your not having your stuff in order, I have to come up and say, look, we need to get some money back, or we need to make some, you got to let us know that things are going to go as planned.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense.
Now, what has happened? I guarantee you, they had some lawyers have talked. And now, what the league is saying, well, we're going to put the pressure on the players. And I say, instead of just putting pressure on them, how about, like you always want them to line your pocket when you got to give them something? How about you line their pockets a little bit more, and they may be willing to do whatever you want them to do.
Something just happened on this field, Brian, that folks are going to be very, very excited to hear about. I got that when we come back. 106.7 The Fan. But you're here with me. I appreciate that, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Every damn day I wake up, I appreciate that. I wrote a story this morning for the NBC Sports Washington website. I don't want to get into it, but I got a lot of nice feedback. I appreciate that from a lot of nice folks out there that read it. B-Mitch.
Yo.
You want to know what folks are excited about?
What are they excited about, JP?
How about a Taylor Heinicke touchdown throw to Samus Reyes?
Ooh.
You know that's going to hype people up.
Does it
hype you up?
No. Just like you said earlier. How many days we have? 46 days before the game.
What's funny is I've watched Washington football team games with Brian, and I know how excited he does get during games. And I think for your sake, it's good that you try to remain so even keel the rest of the year. Because when the ball is kicked, you are ready to rock.
Because like right now, okay, Heinicke to Reyes, I don't think that's going to be what I'm going to hear a lot during the season.
If it is, though.
If you had told me it was Fitzpatrick to Thomas, I might get a little more excited because I think that's something I could really look forward to this season. Reyes, I think, is too much of a project that he's going to be that big of an impact this year. Now, in preseason, it's a possibility. Regular season, I'm not looking forward to that.
So I got to tell you about these clowns from last night, B-Mitch. And let me tell you this. They're doing punt reps right now, and they've got Steve Sims, Dax Milne, Isaiah Wright, and DeAndre Carter taking reps at punt returner.
Okay.
I would say none of those guys has a guaranteed roster spot, and in fact, I don't think any of them have a better than 20% chance of making the roster. So this
Carter is what position again? Running back?
He's a return specialist. I mean, okay. He's a receiver, but he's a returner.
He may be the guy that like this is one thing that Coach Gibbs did. Coach Gibbs kept a return specialist. He wasn't a guy that was a running back that was going to be a returner or a receiver that's going to be. He had a return specialist, punter, kicker, long snapper. That was his special teams guys he's going to keep. Okay? And if the kick returner, punt returner was the same guy, that was even better because now you could get another person. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if you happen to be able to play another position, hell, that might be another person that's another position because now you're playing three different positions. A lot of people today, and this is when I know when I think someone is serious about special teams, many teams go get a return specialist. And then they don't care what position he plays. He's not counted in the four, the five, whatever they want to count. But other people go and get the person to play the position, and then they say, okay, well, he can return punts for us. That's not putting a lot of thought into it. You see what I'm saying?
My guy Dre on Twitter, Mr. DC Sports, a lot of people follow him. Pretty interesting thought here from Dre, who I think is a really, really smart Washington sports fan. He says, DeAndre Carter is a name that's slept on in wide receiver competition. The team signed him as a kick returner, punt returner specialist. He may end up with a spot on this team. Remember, they drafted a long snapper. This team is serious about specialists.
And see, that's what I think DeAndre Carter, just based on what Dre is saying, is he may be a guy that we are sleeping on because they saw last year the other guys return. They saw a guy who has all the speed in the world and supposedly all the moves, but he's inconsistent catching the ball and he's inconsistent getting up the field. Sims. All right?
Sure.
You had the young man Isaiah Wright, got back there a couple times too. But if I got a guy who I know for sure is going to be sure-handed and he knows how to get up the field and he could be my specialist, I don't have to worry about it. He is one of the four people I'm going to have for special teams.
Now, B, you know the numbers better than me, but it is an interesting point from Dre saying that they not only did they draft a long snapper, they traded up to draft that long snapper. And they just paid Hopkins. Like, they did. I do think there's a level of seriousness with special teams that didn't always exist. There's a level of seriousness everything on the operation.
I need that level to be with previously. The guy that's returning those kicks and punts, too. Like, the kicks is basically what it is.
So I want to ask you if these numbers are good, because frankly, I mean, I can look up some stats, but you might know offhand. In his career, he's been 3 years in the NFL. He's played on three different teams. He's averaging 9.3 yards per punt return. And
one more block, and he's averaging 10.
And 21.8 yards per kickoff return. No touchdowns on punts, no touchdowns on kicks.
They're not spectacular numbers. But think about it. One more block on that punt return, and he is over 10 yards per. another block on the kick return. He might be over 22, 23. I don't know. But ultimately, the thing about returning kicks and punt is you catch the ball and you turn it over to your offense. If a guy does that and have those same numbers he has, and then we have another guy who we say, oh, he could break the long one, but he muffs one out of every five or six, and he fumbles the others, who you want to keep on your team?
I'll say this. So it's an interesting debate. Like, let's be honest about kickoffs. Most of them go out of the end zone. There aren't a lot of kickoff returns anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the way the NFL wants it, because they've identified that as a place that is particularly dangerous for head injuries.
They lied about that, but go ahead.
I'm just saying that's one thing they've tried to get out of the game. So the punts to me are more important, and particularly the punts where you could trust the guy that's back there, one, not to muff it, not to fumble it, but also to make smart decisions. Heels on the 10, don't field a ball inside the 5, those sorts of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I haven't studied DeAndre Carter's punt return tape, I'll just be honest with you. But Steve Sims, in two seasons, and last year he's the primary punt returner.
Mm-hmm.
He averaged 6.7 yards per punt return.
See,
DeAndre Carter last season was at 8.4.
Okay.
And that's two more yards.
Steven Sims is a 4.3. Steven Sims averaged 6.7 yards per punt return. You know why? Because Steven Sims muffs balls and he loses ground to try to go around people. He thinks he can break every kickoff, every punt, when ultimately, every once in a while, you have to just slam it in there. Right? I haven't seen him slam many in there. And people go, well, certain people are a little small. Yeah, but if you slam it in there eventually, you're going to hit a crease, and then you can take it to the house. But the longer it takes you to get upfield, the longer you allow more people to get into the area to, like my man Jupe said, they put that tie out on you. Okay?
Love the tie
and out. Then you start fumbling balls. And then again, when you're unsure, you catch on your shoulder pad on the right, on your left, your muff balls and things of that nature. That is what happens. We see a lot of guys who are 4.3, 4.2, 4.4, but they don't have a nice return average because they're running backwards most of the time instead of going forward.
Next, I'm going to tell you how I won $50 gambling on the Olympics last night and what a bunch of degenerates there are down here in Richmond, Virginia.
You are one.
106.7 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.